This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. In the most recent edition of our Marketplace Edison Research poll, it's the third installment, by the way, we asked people what they think has caused the loss of manufacturing jobs in the United States. And a majority of people blamed trade deals over other more organic changes to the economy. The reality, though, is that there's a whole mess of things that have caused manufacturing's decline. Automation and technology, for one, global competition in general, the rise of the rest, and yes, also trade agreements. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson drilled down in onto one industry that's been dramatically reshaped by those forces, American textile manufacturers, to see how things played out.
Gloria Craven has seen lots of politicians come through North Carolina.
I met John Edwards, Elizabeth Dole come in.
And the biggest of them all, she pulls a stack of photos of then-candidate Barack Obama out of a plastic bag on the floor by her couch.
That's 2008, didn't have that gray hair yet.
Gloria introduced him at a campaign rally in North Carolina, and then she got a call. Would she like to come to the Democratic National Convention in Denver?
Please welcome Gloria Craven of North Carolina.
So what did you say?
How our town had lost all their textiles and how many people lost jobs.
Textiles. That is why Gloria gets all this attention. She worked in the textile industry for 30 years, her husband for 41.
Well, I worked with bedspreads, then we made blankets.
Twice the mill she worked for closed. She transferred to another division until the whole company shut down for good in 2003. It was the largest layoff in North Carolina history.
It's just hard. I mean, in this town, we basically, when you come out of high school, you went into mills.
The basic cloth Gloria was making and other commodity textiles, say denim, are really easy to make, and so they were really vulnerable to global competition, especially after the Asian currency crisis of the late 90s. The value of Asian currencies plummeted, which made their already cheap stuff even cheaper. Augie Tantillo is the president and CEO of the National Council of Textile Organizations.
It was desperate times. If you looked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics information on a monthly basis, better have your Prozac because it was depressing. 10,000 jobs lost in the U.S. textile sector, 8,000 jobs the next month, and you don't know when the runaway train is going to come to a stop.
And Tantillo says, yeah, U.S. trade policy has hurt too. There was the phasing out of quotas that limited how much countries could export to the U.S. each year, plus China getting more access to U.S. markets as it joined the World Trade Organization in 2001. Tantillo says the textile industry now employs about half the workers it once did. But he thinks out of all of that pain came a stronger, more specialized industry. His group actually now supports a big pending trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Many American textile companies still make apparel fabrics, but maybe the fabric stretches further or wicks moisture better, or maybe it has a totally new, different application.
We use textile products in all types of construction, filtration for water, for temporary storage devices.
U.S. companies have had to diversify to find their niche, often with really high-tech production. Technology is another thing that's dramatically reshaped this industry and its workforce.
About 20 years ago in this industry, all of this was a manual operation.
Randy Blackston is in Anderson, South Carolina, in front of a machine that swaps out a long row of bobbins, fat with thread, for skinny, empty spools, dozens of arms moving in unison. He's VP of operations for Glenraven, a U.S. textile company that dates back to 1880. We stop in front of a brand new machine still being installed in this immaculate 1 million square foot plant.
So how much would something like this cost?
That one machine's $1 million.
A big investment. But in textiles, competitors are always chasing you. In the 90s, 80% of what Glenraven made was apparel fabrics. But they looked at the market and decided they needed to specialize. Now its biggest product line is this fade-resistant, super durable fabric called Sombrella. It's used in awnings, the roof of convertible cars, furniture.
The most successful producers in the U.S. were those that, to use a term we get from our entrepreneurship people, they pivoted.
Patrick Conway is an econ professor at UNC Chapel Hill.
Rather than saying we're going to produce large quantities of denim fabric, they said, well, let's look at what we do best. Let's exploit our comparative advantage.
That term right there That's something you might remember if you took Econ 101. It's the idea that countries should specialize in what they're good at relative to other countries and trade for the rest.
We can all be made better off. In the end, the outcome are the lower cost goods and services that we're able to buy at any of our large stores.
In other words, Conway says what happened to the textile industry is sort of how trade is supposed to work.
That's exactly the idea.
But Conway says that doesn't mean the transformation isn't painful. And it's not quite a perfect textbook system. In theory, laid-off workers would get new jobs in other parts of the economy. In practice, recent research shows that's been really hard and slow. Some may have to take lower-paying jobs. Others may drop out of the workforce altogether. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
You can see the rest of our stories from this round of polling and take our quiz and see how you measure up on our Economic Anxiety Index at marketplace.org.